from PRX.
Friends beyond binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's going to take you on a trip via a film, a public domain. We're keeping this series going through the end of the year as the strikes wrap up. And we're doing a little bit more public domain content. I think it's going to take two episodes to get through this film that we'll talk about later. But it goes through, there's locations in it. New York City, North Pole, outer space. Holy moly. Is this one a doozy? And I'm looking forward to it. I'll tell you what, if you like laughter, but not on your sleep podcast, but someone talking about laughter and saying, well, they were laughing there. What kind of laugh? Was that a guffaw? I mean, how would you rate that on the bowl full of jelly scale? Because is anybody out there written their thesis about a bowl full of jelly scale? Or what is that called? Lovely when the earth is dancing in the jello, if the jello was on a bowl on Santa Claus's belly. We've studied that, and actually it's quantifiable. I mean, it probably is, right? I mean, I prefer here's another thing. Here's a free idea. Corporate synergy, probably unlikely. Also, it'd be three-way synergy, because you'd say wash your hands, one, dry them. So then you have synergy with whatever you're rinsing and drying your hands. And then here's the big idea of this podcast. I can see many holes in it. But it still could be possible. Jello, Jiggler, Jenga. Let me lay that on you. Great use of alliteration by accident. But yeah, what are you doing? What are you doing for the holidays? Playing our family round of Jello. First, it takes our family about 85 hours of labor to make the Jello, Jiggler, Jengas. And we do make them in seasonal, you know, however we celebrate our season, we make them in those seasonal colors. And then we play Jello, Jello, Jiggler, Jenga. It's like Jenga, but with Jello Jigglers, but it's also nothing like Jenga. But, you know, find out, give it a try. It's only a 2 or 3 week investment of your time. Then you get, you know, eventually we consume the Jello Jigglers. We play with gloves, my family, my imaginary family. Jello Jiggler, Jenga. Who would have thought? I bet you it's out there. If I don't have much wherewithal, but I guess I could try to Google, what is that thing called? Like a rectangle, but it's not rectangle. It's like what is that shape? Whatever Jenga shape mold. Wow, there's a good use of my time than doing it. I mean, I guess you could, if someone was exact, they could just do it if they could measure. You know, it'd be good. No, you couldn't do it with the ice cube thing because those are square for the most part. Anyway, you know, believe it or not, I'm supposed to be introducing a sleep podcast. So, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you're in the right place. This is Sleep With Me, a very different show. It's here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff while you fall asleep because you deserve a good night's sleep. It's here to be your friend in the deep, dark night and to cut through the loneliness and offer a friendly distraction, whether you feel lonely or not. You see, I got a friend talking about something that almost barely makes sense. I mean, yeah, no, I'm with you. We probably have to figure out, will the Jello Jigglers stick to one another? That could be an issue. You're right. That's a problem with imaginary games. You see, have the reindeers ever played Jello Jiggler Jenga? Because that would be a reindeer game. And the reindeers reindeers have horns or antlers. Maybe they could do it. You tape I'm thinking, what are those things called? Fondue fork or cocktail fork? And then they could poke the jigglers and pull them out. maybe a better, easier way to do it. But yeah, or, you know, you'd have to spray them with some sort of lubricant, food, you know, food level, like a grapeseed oil or something like that. Could backfire, make them more sticky. Also, I'm supposed to be introducing a sleep podcast still. I mean, that would be a good centerpiece, even if you don't play it, like a tower. They say, what's that? What's Jello Jiggler Jenga? Don't touch it, though. Like, okay, Nana. Oh, yeah, I spent the last 2 weeks making it. You're not going to play it, though. I mean, if she was Jello Jiggler Jenga's, if she was a Jenga super fan, that would make sense. Is this like the life-size Jenga you have out in the yard? We're not allowed to play that either. Well, because you don't listen, Andy. I know, Nana, I do not. You're right. I'm already eating. I'm imagining myself as a giant character from that game that got made into a movie with The Rock, also based on movies like Spice Friends, pretending it's a skyscraper and not Jello Jiggler, and I'm eating it. Okay, so where are you? Oh, Sleep With Me. It's a podcast that keeps you coming. It's very silly. It takes a few tries to get used to, but it's free, and it's free and easy. Free and easy, friend. What we got coming up is ad support, so you can listen for free, then a long meandering intro, and then what else is after that? Long meandering intro, and then bedtime story about a seasonal public domain film, Santa Claus and a Trip to Another Planet or something it's called. And then there'll be thank yous at the end. So it's the structure of the show. I'm really glad you're here. See how it goes. And these sponsors are how we're able to do it for free twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it can be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz. Got matched with the Helix Dusk Luxe, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Luxe Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody. It is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. These are like those of you that love listening to this ad-supported version for free linearly. I know you're thankful for the people that are able to support the sponsors so we could keep doing this. So we celebrate them here because not only do they support the sponsors, they let the sponsors know about it. They post on social media. That really, really helps us keep sponsors, find new sponsors, and keep the show coming out for you for free. And I wanted to thank Pam, who supported Helix Sleep. It took the quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. Pam was looking for something very firm, and Pam found a match. It took that quiz, helixsleep.com/sleep. Thank you, Pam. If you want to get on the Sleepy Supporter Zone like Pam did, fill out the form at sleepmepodcast.com/sponsors. Let me know about it. Let the sponsor know about it. Even free trials, even just taking that Helix quiz for later. I hear from patrons that took the quiz when they were listening to the Sleep With Me ad supporter version, and then they bought their mattress 2 or 3 years later. That is powerful. And here's the thing. It doesn't just help Sleep With Me. It helps all the other podcasts you listen to. So if you're a regular podcast listener, you know, you really are a hero. So thank you, Pam. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're in need of extra resources, there's links to those resources in the show notes, including international resources you can connect with right now. And it's about being part of our communities, being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine. And people have been asking about my wish list. You know, the organizations we've been supporting over the past year, including my own personal support, is Hand in Hand, the Midnight Mission. Midnight Mission also has an Amazon wish list, and the Trevor Project. So if you want to support one of those organizations, that would be a gift to me, but it'll also be a gift to you and a gift to our communities that we're a part of. So be a part of positive change. Feel how good it feels to take action, and use the links to those organizations in our show notes. And that's it. What do you say? Mystery Bard. A lot of people help out in this show. Holy mackerel. I couldn't do this alone. Mystery Bard. This posty poster song sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner, runner, runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts. Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, get your sleep phones. sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones is the only way to get Sleep With Me branded sleep phones. Only way we get credit. Most comfortable way to listen to Sleep With Me. sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night? Tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble, getting to sleep, trouble, staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts on your mind, things you're thinking about. about the past, the present, the future. So thoughts, you know, thinking thoughts, it could be feelings, anything emotionally coming up related to those thoughts or separate from the thoughts, feelings that are just there, physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine, whatever it is that's keeping you awake. It could, you know, it could be you're going through something, you have something coming up, or it's ongoing. I only go through that stuff to let you know you're not alone. And I realize I'm letting you know you're not alone in some strange pseudo-digital format. But that doesn't change the fact of how we feel, a lot of us. And you might feel differently. You might be a regular listener and you feel differently. But maybe there's something about this like that you could relate to. Because that's really what it comes down to, is while I might not be going through the same thing that you're going through that's keeping you awake, I could probably relate to a little bit of how it feels. But the best piece of news is that someone listening right now can relate to how it feels because they've been through something similar. Enough people are listening right now that that's true. And they know because they've been through it or they're going through it. They say, yeah, I know what it's like. You definitely deserve a good night's sleep, like Scoot says. You deserve a bedtime you don't have to dread. You deserve a bedtime you could feel neutral about or look forward to. You deserve the rest you need, not only so you could get through this part of whatever's going on, but so that you could feel like your life is more manageable and eventually could be flourishing. Because that is important, because you're important, and our world needs you. And if you're getting the rest you need on a fairly regular basis, then our world's going to be a better place to be in. And that is true. Just like the pseudo-digital nonsense, some part of my brain wants to write that off. But it's true. So I'd say, don't, you know, it'll be like a, I don't know, I was going to say it'll be okay, but that kind of doesn't, that's more of that. I don't know how you feel, but I know someone out there does. Or they can relate to how you feel. So I just point that out because it really is important, and that's really what the show is about. We're together, alone, and alone together in the deep, dark night. And it doesn't have to make a whole lot of sense. So what I'll do here is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, which just means my voice is not traditionally soothing. And pointless meanders and superfluous tangents mean I get mixed up. I forget what I was talking about. Then I go on a tangent. Like I go on one tangent about something. And then somehow I spend like 4 or 5 minutes talking about Jell-O Jiggler Jenga. But yeah, that's like part of the show, is it's supposed to be a distraction that you barely listen to. For some people, Subimi is just a podcast they don't listen to, but for a lot of people, it's a service they don't really listen to or follow along, right? It's just running in the background. But kind of like when you bring up like activity monitor, whatever it's called on the other one, process, run it, whatever, you say, okay, what's that running there? Pointless meanders. Okay, it's not using very much bandwidth, so it's just running in the background. So some people are just barely listening. Some people are following along. Some people have me turned down to a background noise. But it's best to kind of listen loosely because it does take some getting used to with this show. Like when you first get here, if you're new, you might be skeptical, doubtful, frustrated even, or beyond frustrated. One, because you're having trouble sleeping. Two, you may have stumbled on this podcast or it got recommended by a couple people and you say, this isn't what I expected. This doesn't seem like it's going to put me to sleep. And you're right. Like I'd be scared. Like most people get to the show scoutful or deptical or skeptical and doubtful, because why wouldn't you? This show does not follow a traditional format. It doesn't seem like what you would imagine a sleep podcast to be. And I'm not traditionally soothing. I'm here to be your friend and take your mind off stuff, not even to be listened to. So all I can say is give it a few tries and see how it goes. That's what literally, I think, 7 figures of people have said, hey, at first I didn't like the show. Then after the third time, I realized, oh, it's never going everywhere. Now I get what it means. It's always never started. So that's part of it. Like, give it a few tries, see how it goes. If you already know you don't like the show, or this is your third try, and you say, this is it, man. Never want to listen. And I say, that's like good, because you still deserve a good night's sleep. Go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. And check out the other sleep podcasts and sleepy stuff on there, and give one of those a try, and see how it goes. The other thing about the show, even though it's a sleep podcast, it doesn't put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff while you fall asleep. There's a reason the show is over an hour. There's no pressure to fall asleep. There's a reason there's 600 episodes in the archives ready to go, so you can kind of see what works for you. Like, I'm here to keep you company, and then suddenly you fall asleep, like just to be a distraction, something outside of you where you have no stake in anything, versus whatever's keeping you awake or whatever you're thinking about. And, you know, pleasantly confusing thoughts like those, like, look at that Jell-O Jiggler tower. Maybe it could be, instead of like a traditional Jenga, you're just building the tower. Like, everybody places their own, like, BYOJJJ, bring your own Jell-O Jenga Jiggler. Like, just like, that would be the entry to, you know, say, Grandma, I thought I was coming over. Well, you know, if you don't have a Jell-O Jiggler Jenga, then peace. Like, you'll have to go, you just stop in the garage. Your uncle's there already making them. But you and then you'll have to wait 45 minutes for it to set. Then you can come on in. Also, we need more of the stuff you used to make it. But so, what was my thing? I got mixed up again. Oh, this podcast isn't here to put you to sleep. I'm here to be your boar friend, your boar sib, your boar bay, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your boar burr, your boar bee, your boars. Your boar bud, your friend in the deep dark night, to keep you company, whether you're listening to me or not, because there's people who are listening to the very end because they can't sleep at all. I'm here to keep them company. There's people who are listening who need a break during the day. There's people listening who just woke up or just got home. So I'm here to keep you company, but you don't need to listen to me. And I think that's one of the things that works about the show. I'm keeping you company the whole time. You don't have to keep me company, right? That's what I mean, like this whole idea of sleep with me as a service. So, yeah, those are a couple things to know. Structure of the show also throws people off. So let me run through that. There is a way, like, most people experience the podcast, but you can adjust. And there isn't, I've learned over the years, like, there's a lot of ways people choose to listen to the show as they become a regular listener. So there's no right or wrong way, but just let me lay out why we structure the show the way we do, and then you could kind of adjust if you decide you're a regular listener, or if you're a regular listener and you want to change it up. Show starts off with a greeting. Usually the greeting's like 1 or 2 minutes. Lately it's gotten like, I've gone on more tangents, but that's so you feel seen and welcomed in, and you hear a little bit about the podcast, and you get a feel for what it's like, kind of silly. Then there's the ad support. That's how the show's free. And the people that participate in that. But there's people that just like, they prefer to just listen to the show linearly with ad support. If you don't like the sponsor support, we provide plenty of ways that you could get an ad-free experience. Then there's a long meandering intro. And that's meant to ease you into bedtime. The intro does not put you to sleep. It's a show within a show, separate from the support. It's different every time, and it's meant to kind of be a landing pad or while you're getting ready for bed, while you're winding down. I just had this personal conversation. Someone had heard about the podcast I knew, and they were looking for sleep advice. And I was like, really, the only thing I can tell you is like, try having a consistent bedtime routine with something you enjoy. Where you wind down. That's one of the things that works for most. It's proven to work most of the time. It doesn't work for me every time. But when I'm having a wind down routine, like I'm more likely to have a good night's sleep. So for a lot of people, that's where the intro fits in. Whether they're in bed, they're doing a chill activity, or they're in bed getting comfortable. Now, there is a small percentage of people already asleep. We're so happy for them. Oh boy, are we. And everybody that's listening to the show who has partners that are asleep, or, you know, fish, or I don't know, fish, I can't tell if you're asleep or not, but, or cats or dogs or whatever. We're so happy for everybody sleeping. But for a lot of people, they're just in bed getting comfortable. There is a 2% of people that start the show between 20 and 30 minutes. So that's another way you could adjust. But for most people, this is kind of part of their wind down and easing you into bed. Then there's support. Then after that will be the bedtime story, where I'll look at this this movie in the public domain about Santa Claus and outer space. And I didn't even realize it was a thing. I started looking for public domain holiday films, and this one came up, and I guess it's been, it's got quite the following. It's quite the movie. So yeah, we'll go through that. I don't know if we'll make it through the whole movie. This may be a 2-part episode. It'll come out in a week or two, the other half. But don't worry, you'll fall asleep too. It won't be a really interesting recap of a movie. So, and it's public domain, so anybody could watch it when you want to. And then there's thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. That's why I make this show. I'm really glad you're here. I work really hard. You're in a nice drive, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Everybody, Scoots here. We're covering, I think this will be a 2-part episode where we're covering a holiday film that I had no idea about. And this was kind of during the strikes where I was like, okay, let's start looking at public domain stuff so that we can stand with the writers and the actors that are on strike. And I found that when I searched holiday public domain, this was one of the top things that came up. And I'll be honest, I somehow missed this because this has been covered a lot. So I'm sure there's a lot of opinions out there about this. It looks like it's been covered maybe multiple times by Mystery Science Theater 3000, maybe Riff Tracks 2. And there's a ton of stuff about it. There's a ton of videos about it. But man, I had never seen or, to my knowledge, heard about this movie. I mean, I probably did and I forgot about it. And it's called Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. It's from 1964. And it is, I mean, I'll be honest, I really enjoyed it. I mean, I've watched it multiple times now that I'm recording this. And I mean, let's set aside whether it's bad or good. I mean, some people are calling it, you know, opinion wise, I don't know. This is just such an out there film. And I'm going to try and actually load up a different version here than the one I watched. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but we'll see. Okay, this one's starting a little bit different place. Let's see, it doesn't have captions. It does have auto-generated captions. But the other thing is I was thinking, because I've been playing this very popular game, Starfield, a little bit, and I'm still kind of getting going with that game. But another thing was like, I was like, could this be, it's public domain, so could this be a mission in Starfield? And then now that I've gone on or kind of like done a couple on, I'm not very far in the main story, but I did try a couple of the side quests to like really play them out, or I'm almost done with one side quest, like with a little bit of a threat or activity. I don't know. So I was like, huh, what would this look like? And it's interesting, structure wise, I haven't had time to think about the, like the actual structure, but it's an hour and 20 minutes. Let's see, this version's an hour and 9 minutes. So it's probably not good. It's 10 minutes shorter than the version I've been watching. So maybe this is not the same movie, but whatever, we'll figure it out. But it's not a big deal. So I don't know, maybe I'll go on tangents about how this could be a Starfield quest. What would that look like? And, but I mean, there is a question of like, who are the, like, it, like who's the center of the story here? Also, yeah, the closed captioning on the version I watched, maybe it was auto-generated, it was way off. This movie contains, as it, any movie with Santa Claus, but a lot of characters laughing in very out there ways. Maybe in the second half of the movie, because I only noted one over-the-top set of laughter yet. It also has a song that isn't popular, but it's at the beginning and the end. Some of the lyrics that I got managed to write down were "Sing hooray for Santa Claus, say hey for Santa Claus, hang up that mistletoe, soon you'll hear ho 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 on Christmas Day, you'll wake up to say hooray for Santa Claus." That's S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-U-S, Santa Claus. You spell it as S-A-N-T-A. Hooray for Santa Claus. Hooray for Santa Claus. Hooray for Santa Claus. Okay. Santa, S-A-N-T-A, some answers, fall a road. When we lure spring, sky bells. Oh, this must be more S-A-N-T-A. Fall a road. When we hear sleigh bells ring. Or something, bells go, something go ding-a-ling-a-ling or ting-a-ling-a-ling. Also, I put here, 1964, maybe this, I read this somewhere, the first Mrs. Claus in film. But yeah, it also starts with like, so the song, it goes, is against kind of like animated, yeah. These ones are even worse. We hear bell spray under the trees. What do you call it? Santa Claus is like pushing different. It's very 60s, 70s. Like, I don't know. Like, it's got an aesthetic and a feel for sure. And it doesn't feel, it is so dated that it's timeless. So it does not feel like it was made in 1964. As a matter of fact, I mean, the main, the leader of the Martians, I mean, kind of reminds me a little bit of Bryan Cranston. So I could see Bryan Cranston star. I mean, this could easily be remade. Okay, so Kid TV. So at this point in history, There's Kid TV, and if you're a 90s kid, maybe you remember when they said, let's put TVs in every classroom and commercial. I mean, these kids love commercials, obviously. So can we make commercial television a part of their, as long as we have a monopoly, let's make a commercial television a part of their education. Again, when you say, what is up with this, these adults, and they did that, and the company said, don't worry, it's as long as you give us a monopoly, we'll put some TVs in there and ability, you know, show some brief advertisements and, you know, advertorials. So Kid TV was like, this is a pioneering idea. This is news for kids and TV for kids. And the transmission is so powerful. So it's news for kids. Kids shrug at TV. What does that mean? Stare at TV? Oh, yeah. So it pans out of this broadcast to kids TV. Oh, no, yeah. The camera, is that a pan? And this might be one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, which is these two Martian children. They are entranced by this TV. I'm sure this is, and they're sitting way too close, but it's a smaller 1960s TV, so you have to be close. But they're not too close, though, in a comedic way, but they are entranced by the television. And then you go to Andy Henderson, who's reporting from the North Pole live. And Andy has some jokes, and he says, let's take a look-see at the, you know, North Pole. He jokes about the frozen dinners. And he's on set, or it's not a painting because he walks onto the set. He goes into the, couple interesting things. He goes into Santa's workshop. This was the 60s, so people smoked at work, which is, I guess, interesting, you know. Say, okay, you smoke at work, eh? And it's just weeks before Christmas. They're trying to make sure Santa has enough toys. Obviously, this must be a show workshop because there's only like six people working in there. But same one, very similar one Laurel and Hardy worked at. Santa's pushing through, Santa's also smokes at work. He's painting something. And I did say, is this a good use of Santa's time? Santa's smoking a pipe. He says, oh, hello, everybody. Andy caught me at a busy time. So maybe it's a staged thing to make Santa look like he's really working. Very picturesque Santa Claus. John Call, I believe, is the performer. They say, Santa, are you going out on the rocket sled? No. Then he says, Dunder and Mifflin almost, which is funny. That his horses are not Dunder and Mifflin, but they're Dasher and Dancer, Dunder and Nixon. So a little comedic comedy. Points at the kids on TV. Then Mrs. Claus comes. She has double bows on her dress. I like that. And she's like, you got to start painting the hobby horses. But first they give us a preview of some new toys. Also, I noted this later, but I'll talk about it now. Santa has a short sleeve jacket, which is smart if he's working. He should have a smock on. And we also get the first thing, and I don't know if, so Winky is one of Santa's assistants, right? So Winky runs the space department at the workshop. And I don't know if any of the other comedy things like talked about this, but this is a very important thread to me. Because Winky says, Winky knows that what Martians look like because it designed a toy that looks exactly like Martians. And there's people on Mars. So Winky, and we kind of realize later, Winky, like it's revealed that Winky does have some sort of secret connection to the Martians. It's not revealed. I'm aware of it. I just want everybody to know. So I think this could be the first part is like, I think it'd be cool to have like an outside character. So Winky, one of Santa's assistants, could be the, like an elven being, like could be the, if it was on StarCraft, maybe Winky's trying to, I don't know, maybe like, I don't know if you could choose like who you're going to work with. Cause it does feel like even the, like at some point, even the side quests have to be on rails somewhat, but Winky's the connection here because Winky's clearly been to Mars or has had some sort of, psychic or spiritual connection to Mars, like in another dimension or dreams. I'm not saying it's because Mars clearly is doesn't seem to be a bad place. They've got some stuff going on. But okay, so Santa goes and shows Winky and this new stuff. Some of the new toys were turning out. How's it going, Winky? Okay. All right. Great job. Yeah, we got some space stuff here. And we got the latest toy rocket, runs on real rocket fuel. Bad idea. You know, bad idea. And then Andy, the reporter, says, what is this being here? And he says, oh, Winky, mate, that's Winky's idea of a Martian. It's the only exec who like a Martian. Andy doesn't know, like he doesn't, he's not really open-minded about Martians. He goes, well, I hope they have someone up there like you, Santa, to bring joy and cheer to all the more Martian children. At least Andy says that. And then we zoom on the Martian doll. And what we see next, we've already realized. We've seen the Martian children. And then we get the leader who's calling for Droppo. And we get a little sleep with me because Droppo's sleeping on the floor. They also have an indoor fountain sculpture that looks like they bought it up from Sky Mall. So they must have Sky Mall or Brookstone in the 1960s Mars. And you say, because it's the kind of thing that is working now, but like when you went over there for the next Christmas or holiday season, you'd say, yo, what's going on with that plastic thing in the middle of your living room? Oh, it stopped where it used to be a aerator. It kept, you know, humidifier, soundscaper, like diffuser, sculpture, light up, but it doesn't work anymore. It only cost $1,999. But Droppo's sleeping on the floor. So Droppo's our comedic character. And his boss, Kimar, has a tickle ray. And he says, Droppo gets giggles from tickling. So I guess that's another set of laughter. He says, I was practicing sleeping. Kimar extends his, I guess you extend your antenna when you wake up. And we see that Droppo's kind of person that can't get anything right. Why are you sleeping during work? Wasn't sleeping, just practicing. And Droppo's like his assistant, I guess, because I don't know, like House Carl, is that like the thing? And he says, yeah, your wife's at the food pill store. So people consume food via pills there or in capsule form, which is very modern. And then we see the first set of tension on Mars. Children are watching these ridiculous Earth programs that confuse them. And point at the door. Oh, when you point at the door, it opens. That's pretty cool. And they go into the kids' room. They're watching Earth programs now. They're slack-jawed with no emotion at all. So not only are they entranced, but they have no emotions. And they say, what's a doll? What is tender loving care? Because they're still watching the report from Earth where there's more previews of toys from Santa of a doll that you can give tender loving care to. So apparently they don't have dolls on Mars. Brother and sister are discussing this. And then the dad says, surprise, you're supposed to be in bed. You're not supposed to be watching Earth programs. And he says, now go to sleep. Now, I don't know who gave them a TV in their bedroom, Dad, but they say, we want to see Santa and toys. And he goes, no, 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 go to sleep. So apparently they don't have an entertainment apparatus on Mars, which is one thing like they could work on. They also sleep on tables. I mean, this is worth it just to see these details. And their dressers are very, in strange shapes built into the walls, but might be good for different things. But anyway, like their beds are circular tables suspended from the ceiling. And they have a thing that will induce sleep by a sleep spray, which parents can take, turn on and off, or Droppo can. And, Droppo's vacuuming, actually, by, Kimar's in there. He's not upset. Well, I went to the food store, food capsules. We've got burgers, buttered asparagus, mashed potatoes, and chocolate layer cake in capsule form. But Kimar's worried. They're not really, the kids aren't eating deeper than that, even. They're behaving strangely, troubled. They don't sleep. I had to use the sleep spray. I talked to my other people in charge, and they said it's the same with children all over the planet in every district. is happening in the children. Okay, so Kemar must be one because he has K01. So I guess he's like the president or something. But something's happened in the Children of Mars, which we never learn. And you're the leader of Mars, so you better do something about it. Why don't you go to the forest and see what Chochum, the Ancient One, says. Never failed you. So go talk, you know, adventure in the inmost cave or whatever. So he calls a meeting. Everybody in department heads, Rigner, Lomas, Hargo, Boda, Boldar, Voldar reporting. We're going to meet at Chochum's chair in the Thunder Forest. What's not wrong now? Voldar, would just listen, please. So they go out. What is Voldar? 67? I can't see. 07. Voldar is the seventh in charge. Voldars are going to be our troublemaker, but not for comedic purposes. So the Voldar's got a voice. So let's see. What am I know? Sleep spray. Something's happening. You got to do something. Ancient one. Voldar, let down your hair. They go to a kindergarten. What is this kindergarten? No. This ancient one is ancient, 800 years old. Must find out kindergarten class. I don't know why I wrote that. We need your poof. And this, so this character Voldar, I don't know who the ancient one is. What does Schema think? We're a kindergarten class? I don't know. Something. That's something Voldar argues about. But I don't know if you've seen the movie Spaceballs, but yogurt is exactly the Mel Brooks's version of Yoda is very similar to this character, which is also similar to Billy Crystal's character in Princess Bride. But that character is a little bit less comedic in Carol Kane. Okay, here's Kemar. Thanks for coming to this meeting. It's, you know, out in the mist lands. We got to wait for the appearance. We get some more mist. And with a poof, are you here, Ancient One of Mars? I call upon you, Kema, to meet with us. So they say, yeah, we need some help here. Kema appears, it's not an animatronic. At first, it does look like it, or a puppet. Very dramatic. It's got the long staff, like any wizard would. You called upon me? What do you need? Yeah, we need your advice, man. Jojen, something's wrong. The kids aren't eating right. They're not sleeping. They're watching these Earth programs. That's the only thing they're interested in. They're meaningless. He goes, what time of year is it? Middle of September? No. It's on Earth. What time of the year is it on Earth? On Earth? Let's see. September, October, November, December on Earth. Early December on Earth, eh? Okay, well, it's close to the time when they have Santa Claus visits the children. That explains it. What is Santa Claus? What is a Christmas visit from Santa Claus? Well, it's a great anticipation, peace, joy, supposedly. Children, it's a time of great anticipation. So he really nails it as they await the arrival of Santa Claus. That's all they care about. Ain't that the truth? A lot of kids, not all of them. He brings gifts. What nonsense, Voldar says. What does this have to do with Mars, man? Because they don't, this is a pretty big thing. So in Mars, the children, there are no children. There's adults in children's bodies because when you're on Mars, you don't experience on childhood. You go through an electrotrain teaching machine, which feeds into your mind all the knowledge you need for adulthood. It flows through your brain or something. So then your body grows into an adult body, but your mind is already an adult. And so this is a little bit of a Luddite type lesson here. I don't know what it has to do with Santa Claus, other than the fact it's like this, I think it's more of a tactile thing versus anti-technology. Where it says, yeah, the kids never play anymore. I don't know when this started in the history of Mars, now they rebel. They need to listen and play and have fun. And then he doesn't sing the song, but it would be a perfect opportunity for it to be a musical, because he says we need a Christmas on Mars, or Santa Claus on Mars. So he could sing that, we need a little Christmas right this very moment. That would be good. So this could be a musical with any, it would have to be whatever public domain musicals. Or it could be Starfield Adventure, not StarCraft. I guess it could. You could pick sides. StarCraft 4, do you want to be the North Pole or, USA or Mars? That would be fun. That would be unbelievably fun. So what if in Starfield, there's a version of StarCraft where you play that, and that's part of the mission? That would be some deep stuff. That would be fun, man. You'd say, what have you been doing on Starfield? Well, I got that new ad, I got that DSP or whatever they add-on pack. It's exactly like StarCraft, except because you can go to North Pole, you could go to Mars, or you could go to North America, and you're... And then each, you got all the representative things. So it's, you can't say reporting for duty, but because it's not actually. StarCraft was a game a while ago, much different than Starfield. But I get the two words mixed up when I'm Googling how to find ship parts. StarCraft, luckily it knows. He says, yeah, they're children's bodies with adult minds. That doesn't work. So he says, yeah, we need a little Christmas right this very moment. We need more than a little Christmas. We need a Santa right in his Santa suit. Electronic teaching machines, not good anymore. The passive consumption of a stream of, it's just not working. The kids got to get out there and play, man. They got to let loose. They got to kick off their Sunday shoes. Ooh-wee, buddy. So this guy says, what should we do? Okay, so they say, yeah, let's get a Christmas going. They have stunned looks, though. And this is laugh number one from Voldar, I think. Like a villainous laugh. So we need a Santa Claus on Mars. So there's our call to adventure, I guess. I don't feel like Kimar is the main character, but I guess so, because somebody's being called to adventure. So the task for the Martians is to get Santa on Mars. I guess this is why it could have just been a little bit more developed, because Kimar's not exactly... he's not unlikable, and he makes a couple good choices. Maybe just a little bit more development. This is a foolish idea, though. It's a serious, Voldar is not a big fan of kids. I can't imagine having Voldar as a parent. Children are fine, Voldar says. They don't need toys and games, and they'll play and laugh and run and be a nuisance. No, not going to happen. Get spaceship number one ready. So they're going to get ready to go to Mars. Go to Earth. So we see spaceship number one take off. They say, we leave tonight, man. We got drums. We got music. We got mist. We see a couple other shots of the ship in space. And they work at like a circular command station. So they're all working together, very collaborative, flying a Martian spaceship. takes teamwork, and they're about to head into Earth orbit. They use the term Earth term. So they've got to be, there has to be some sort of Earth-Martian relation, right? Like one came, I mean, there's clearly deeper links, and we have one Santa's assistant. So I don't know, Winky. So I don't know, but yeah, this is, so I mean, I think that could be, if it's a remake, you know, and maybe it could play on like that Charlton Heston movie that got remade, where you say, holy cow, this is Earth. I don't know, but, out in a poof, where are we? Okay. They're about to land the Earth orbit port. Oh, 'cause they use terms like port and starboard, a lot of engines on the ship for different things. And they start looking for Santa Claus. They got magnoscopes. And they say, set it to third power. And they see a city. It looks like New York. And Voldar doesn't like cities above ground. He likes living below the ground. So he says, yeah, check it out. Primitive. You know, we could use our, like, got some sort of radar, you know, laser beams, you know. And the guy goes, we're here to get Santa Claus, man. Go to fifth power. This is a funny moment, man. So New York City at holidays, they say, look for somebody in a red suit turned with white fur, long white beard. And Volner says, that's not going to be possible, man. There's millions of people in the city. Like finding dust in a comet's tail. Oh, wait a second. There's Santa right there standing on a street corner. And then they says, I see him too, ringing a bell. No. He says, standing near a kettle at a large building. No, he's standing next to a fake chimney. And wait a second, there's another one. Wait, there's hundreds of Santa Clauses. How do we bring them all back? Obviously, they won't miss Santa if we just take one. Then we get a news report. I don't think it's kid TV anymore, though. It's a real news. They say there's some object circling Earth, not a spaceship, not from the Soviet Union. So we get a sequence of everybody getting ready to go. And this seems like stock footage. So it's a long sequence of stock footage of preparing for the defense. You say, really, this is, I don't know if any of those things are whatever. Then we get something. They say, okay, the Earth found us on radar. Okay, put on the radar blocker. Our radar blocker's not working. Huh, wonder why. Oh, Droppo's sleeping in the radar box. That's why the radar blocker's not working. Droppo, what are you doing, man? And he does a little comedic thing. Oh, well, I just went, you know, I wanted to say goodbye to you. And then I saw it. I want to go to Earth. I mean, it makes sense. And they say, Droppo, get below. Then Droppo runs into the landing gear, which is all in pastel colors, all the handles. One of my favorite parts, the pastel colors of the handles of the landing pads. Then they're going to land near a lake or something. They say, okay, let's you put some, you know, run on the silent rockets, and we'll get down there. Then the news reports, UFO's gone, may have radar blocking though. So in this world, the government's pretty honest about everything. They say, yeah, there's UFO. We lost track of it. Maybe it was a mistake. We don't know. Maybe it's got radar blocking, we'll tell you more soon, but don't worry, we're on it. So then we have another sequence of stock footage showing defense. I assume it's stock footage. I'm not positive about that, but like free footage to, you know, promote the promotion of promotes, you know, just keep us promoted. Retro rockets, lower the landing legs. That's when we see the pastel things get into action. And the dude who lowers the landing legs takes his job very seriously. Like this dude, it's like an art form for him, just pulling these levers. Then we go to this next scene, which is like two kids just chilling in the woods. They're listening to, speaking of pastels and previous episodes of Sleep With Me, they're listening to a Flavor Radio, which is like a handheld radio, like in a bright color. There's this red and white. One of the kids is sleeping. His sister's just listening to the radio. They're listening to the news, though. And she goes, Billy, what's a Martian look like? He goes, I don't know. I'm sleeping, Betty. Billy and Betty, no one's ever seen one. She goes, yeah, I don't think there's any. Or one of them's like, I don't believe in Martians. And then next thing you know, the Martians come running up. And Billy's got his eyes closed. So Betty's like, yo, there's Martians here. He goes, I'm trying to sleep, Betty. She goes, there's Martians right there. He goes, you're imagining things. And the Martians go, no, you're not. We're from Mars, by the way. Hi. Don't worry. This is like one of the lines if the kids would have taken the wrong way, they say, don't worry, we got kids just like you on Mars. But the kids, Betty says, what are the things sticking out of your helmet heads? Oh, those are antenna. So I guess another thing would be like maybe these, maybe the Martians are augmented humans from our past or future or something, or are they just developed in that way? Because they have helmets, but they said that that's part of them. So they say, Billy, could you help us? We're looking for one of your Santa Clauses. He goes, silly Martians, there's only one Santa Claus. All the other ones are assistants. Santa Claus is real. But the non-real Santa Clauses are helpers. And if, you know, myth turns out to be fact, the Santa Claus at the North Pole getting ready for Christmas. And then Voldar says, these people are nincompoops. Because I think Betty asks, are you in a television set? Then they say, okay, you're going to have to wait on our ship. This is at like some Welsh lake. We get the news report. Hey, two kids, like something's weird just going on. Let's go to some more stock footage. So they go to more stock footage. We see Droppo's giving the kids a tour of the spaceship, while everybody else is busy. And they said, wow, like, this is cool, man. And Droppo goes, yeah, real spaceship. Droppo says, don't touch anything. What does that say? Mars time, Jupiter time, Earth time. This is the retro rockets. What's that light? That's a radar blocker. We got a radar screen so nobody can find us. That button's when the elevator's coming up. The elevator's coming up. Better hide you guys in the radar box. So Droppo gives them the tour. We can find out a couple of things about how the ship works. They're approaching the North Pole and the workshops. They put on the rocket silencers. And they have a pretty solid plan, I think, like... Because they say, we'll go get Santa. No one's going to know. And we're going to use Torg. So we'll activate Torg. Torg activate. We need to activate Torg. I guess because they didn't know that there'd be a team of workers and Mrs. Claus there. They just didn't ask the kids enough questions. They say, okay, we need Torg. So we get a mystery. Who's Torg? Who's this Torg going to be? But nothing can stop Torg, apparently. Okay, so they, you know, we see a cool shot of the workshop, of Santa Claus's workshop. They get ready for landing. Then Billy and Betty sneak out of the ship right after it lands. Pretty smart. Apparently Droppo helped them. And they go to the North Pole, and Billy's like, they come down a ladder. And they said, come on, let's find Santa's workshop. Then we see the Martians on the ladder. The ladder is very shaky as they come down. They decide to split up to find, I don't think they realize the kids are gone yet, to find Santa's workshop maybe. Then Voldor comes down. He's like, dude, I'm so sick of your attitude. You oppose me at every chance you get. I'm fed up with you, Voldor. Voldor goes, you finished, man? Voldor's such a, like, not a good rebel. Like, the rebel in me. A rebel, like, he has a bad attitude, but not in a cool way. He still doesn't want anything about to do with Santa Claus or happy kids. But he says, you finished, man? Because the children got away. And he goes, Voldor, this is no time for jokes. He goes, no, no. He goes, they're going to warn Santa Claus. What could be worse than that? And I guess that makes sense if you have no idea about anything about the North Pole or stuff. So they say, okay, boy, that's not good. So we got to do something. And they say, okay, we got to stop him. Get Torg. Torg, come out. They go, this is like very spaced out, like Sleep With Me. Torg, come out of the spaceship. Torg, come out of the spaceship. Also, Billy, I didn't realize that. Billy deactivated the space, broke the radar shield. Man, he's a smart kid, and he covers his tracks so that they'll never know. And, the kids head out of the ship. Okay, so then they say, oh, yeah, they say, by the way, look at all these little kids' footprints in the snow. Yeah, they were. So they get Torg out of the ship. Then we see Betty is cold and tired. Billy says, come on, we got to find Santa's workshop. Then they see Voldor looking for them. Billy says, we'll go hide in this little cave here. So they hide in the cave. Then Voldor leaves, and there's a gummy bear there. But they hide from the gummy bear because they say, I don't know what the gummy bear. They said, don't gummy bears bounce here and there and everywhere? That's bound to bring a track trouble. So they go back. Then there's big music. Then the gummy bear disappears. So Billy goes to take a look. They say, what are we going to do? It seems hopeless. And they say, we'll find Santa's workshop. Don't worry. And then Betty says, look over there, those lights. But we already realize the lights are on a robot who is, whatever, Torg. Torg the robot. Now, this is like already the biggest blow, I think. Like, without Torg, which is cool. A lot of the low quality stuff, but Torg is like literally made out of cardboard, and air duct, legs. So it's more comedic, but Torg is also a super powerful robot for a brief period of time. So Torg says, hey, Billy, Betty, I'm here. I'm supposed to wait with you here. Betty's jaw drops when she sees Torg. She says, what is that? And Billy says, I don't know. And so Torg says, let's just wait here. Then Voldor gets there first and says, Torg, no, no, no. Send Big Farm. These kids have been naughty and not nice. But Kimar gets there and says, I knew you'd try something. You're very lucky, man, kids, because Voldar's no good. Go back to the ship. Then Billy goes, you Martian. Right now there's a close-up on Kimar. He could easily be played by Bryan Cranston. And we know Bryan Cranston has that range from all the way back. I mean, not only all the films and Breaking Bad, but all the way back to Malcolm in the Middle, the roller skating episode. Then Voldor says the danger, or somebody says the danger grows with every minute. And I said, really? So that's an interesting thing to say. I don't know, and then Voldar's constantly going, and Kimar says, we're not here to cause any harm other than taking their Santa Claus. We're not here to cause any harm. It's too far afield for Voldor. He's just Santa Claus toys and games and whatever. And then he says, Torg, follow me. Let's go to Santa's workshop and we'll have Torg go in and retrieve Santa. So then they're outside of Santa's workshop. And he goes, Torg, go in and get Santa. So Torg goes through the door. And this is where it gets interesting, because this is where we see what's going on with Winky, because he tries to stop Torg. And then Santa just laughs. He has short sleeves. He says, that's the biggest toy I've ever seen. Well made at that. Torg recognizes, I mean, I guess the irony would be that Torg is recognizing their maker, so that at some point when these timelines crossed, this could all be Santa's fault in some way. It would be an interesting place to take it, right? Because Torg instantly recognized Santa and kind of shut down. I'm imagining Torg was purring, with a satisfactory thing. So I don't know. Winky's involved in this, but maybe that's what Winky realized. Or maybe Winky sent Torg. I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting, too, because the elves are not, so we don't know there's different movies about Santa's elf and, how that happened. But this could be interesting, if we have the elves, the Martians, and we get into the elves of the fantasy realms and say, okay, yeah, how did they end up working for Santa Claus? Because they thought they were kind of like a people removed from, humans, and they like to be on their own. And how are the Martians involved, and how is Torg involved? So all interesting. I mean, I think it would probably work best as like a future timeline thing, because the time across, I don't know. You see, this is what we end up like. But Billy, I love it. I'm watching. He says, you Martian. So I don't know what year planet of the Charleston Heston planet, came out. All right. So Santa's talking to Torg, shut down Torg. So then Kimar and Voldar go in, and immediately Winky says, those are Martians. He goes, you can't take it. And he says this very clearly. So maybe the Coen brothers can make this, because he says, you can't take him now. And that feels like a Coen brothers moment, where we've either seen Winky, so Winky is kind of like the, like a character in Fargo or something. Cause he says, you can't take him now because it's almost Christmas. I won't get my, you're supposed to be here after Christmas when I get my bonus. So maybe Winky is not so innocent. I don't know. Maybe Winky just wants, maybe Winky wants what's best for Mars too. And was like, this would have worked out a lot better. Maybe Winky's the architect of what this all messed up Winky's plan for peace between Mars and Earth via Santa Claus. But anyway, they have these things at science museums, there's these rubber band things that poof air at you. You pull them back and you can poof a poof of air at people. Well, the Martians have those, but they cause people to freeze. So they freeze Winky and Santa's other assistants. Then Mrs. Claus just comes and says, what's this nonsense? We've got to stay on schedule here. And they use a poof to freeze Mrs. Claus. And then Santa makes a cheap joke about Mrs. Claus. They said, come on. And even Voldar says, let's go, old man. But Torg stays behind. Torg's fully can't remember what's next with Torg, but Torg's fully frozen, full shutdown. And then we see, okay, we're at the halfway point. So this movie is clocking in right at time. As far as a little bit too clocking in, I guess. Because say, okay, now Santa Claus is headed to Mars. We see newspapers, news reports. It's positively confirmed by Mrs. Claus that Santa's a guest of the Martians without his permission. But don't worry, the UN is on it, and the world is united. So, I mean, I guess that's cool. Finally, some unity. This is what it took. I mean, I guess, unfortunately, the misinformation, because we don't actually know what's going on with the Martians. They just don't have their own Santa Claus. I mean, I guess they didn't know to be straightforward with us. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it was their choice to not ask. I mean, they're also like getting free TV. But anyway, then they interview Wernher von Braun, and he says, forget testing. We got our testing rocket. We're going to go after the Martians. Everybody's in line. We're going to bring Santa back to our children. And that's when, so that's like the good midpoint of the movie. So I guess like, I could do like, just wondering. So if it was Starfield, I think it'd be cool if there was a StarCraft game. I guess you could, Mars and Earth are pretty close together in Starfield. But it could be cool if there's a rocket sleigh that you could somehow unlock during the mission. Also, it could be like a mission where you're delivering toys. I mean, that would be like, not like Starfield, but, it could still be a mission. And it could actually be a ship, like where you're finding whatever unformed Earthlings. Like you're trying to do could be different challenges, just delivering presents on Earth and Mars. And there could also be opportunities for cool sidetracks and stuff and fun stuff. But I still don't know who you'd want to work with. So maybe, I mean, I guess maybe you could choose and defend North Pole or help. Yeah, I guess that would be it. Like you'd say, okay, we're going to stop. I'm going to work for Santa Claus. But I guess at this point, I can't confirm because I say, what would be best for everybody? We'll find out in the next part of the movie. So I hope you're having a restful holiday season. I hope this is a part of it. Good night, everybody. We'll be back soon because we're going to bring Santa back. And bring Santa to where he belongs at the same time. Okay, good night. All right, everybody. I wanted to thank everybody who signed up for our referral program recently and is getting referrals. Is this right? Oh, no. I think we're... What's the date? I think we got one that's more recent than this one. Let's see. And we'll just run through it. And I mean, I can see in the stats that people signed up. It does take about, you have to share more than twice to start getting momentum wherever you're sharing on social media or in person. But it is possible. We've already got someone that qualified for a few months of sleep with me plus free. So we have Shauna. And Jed, who just signed up, Karen, who signed up, it looks like it got either visited, like maybe shared it once. It's got one page view. Natasha, six page views, which so six people checked out the link. And out of those six people, three people kind of did the preview part, but five of those six people signed up and checked out the podcast. That's really good. 5 out of 6. It's amazing. So whatever Natasha said, Natasha, if you're hearing this, let me know. Malik, one page visit. So, one referral. So whoever visited Malik's page was an instant conversion. Brianna is still getting ready to share the link. Aaron, one view. Sjord is already, I think we talked about this in another thank you. Five page visits, three previews, and three subscriptions. And that's really all you need to get 3 months to sleep with me free. So make sure, I really appreciate everybody doing it and couldn't do without all of you. And thanks and good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month? And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the 10 to I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.